Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. We thank you especially for your Son, who in your songs tonight, he is our all in all, and he's our everything. He's our gift. He's our prize, and we are his. And Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus all over everybody here. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you come, that you dwell with us, that you fall on us, that your anointing rests all around us and inspires us to grow, to learn, and to change. And Lord, we just thank you that you're putting action inside of us, action for the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, doesn't it feel good to praise God? It feels really good. And when we focus on God and not on anything else, it's really worth it all. And it's such warfare. It's what we were born to do. And really, it's just a blessing when we finally break through and start doing it. And I know on my own part, you know, when we stop worrying about everything and anybody else and just focus in on God, he comes to inhabit his praises. So the enemy is obviously trying to get us not to praise. He's obviously very bent on not allowing this church to do that. So it's just really awesome that we entered in tonight. And I thank God for that. So I'm going to be speaking of the King tonight. And it really is. He is everything that we could ever want. He's everything that we could ever hope for. He's everything that we could ever imagine. His grandness is amazing. And sometimes, you know, we picture Jesus as the mortal man that he was. Some sects of Christianity kind of have, you know, a picture of Jesus. He's broken and hurt. And he was broken, but he was broken. He's not broken now. He's amazingly beautiful. He's funny. He's smart. He's so amazing. He's our best friend. He's our mentor. And he's everything that we could hope. Everything that ever will be is because of him. He is our all in all so much. And he loves us so desperately. And I'm holding on to God to allow that connection between Jesus and my heart to truly cement that cord, to truly cement. Because I know that, speaking for all of us, you know, once we start to walk deeper in his love and know him for who he is, it's just really going to change us. And we're going to start living for the first time. It's literally going to be like the new creation of the Bible, a new life. We're going to feel so new. And don't we feel kind of new tonight? I think we feel pretty new tonight. It's really good. So I'm going to read a little bit of a scripture, starting with John 5, verse 46. Jesus is talking to the religious bunch, and he says, "If you had believed Moses, you would believe me, because he, Moses, wrote about me." And we all know that Moses wrote the first books in the Bible. And in Genesis, it starts out, "In the beginning." In the beginning. Well, what does that mean in relation to Jesus? In the beginning. Well, let's look to John 1 through 4. John 1, 1 through 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made." And that word "through," when you look it up, it's on account of, by reason of, and for the sake of. So for the sake of Jesus, by reason of Jesus, and on account of Jesus, all things were made. It's almost like, you know, and it is the truth. We are the gift from God to Jesus. Creation was a thing existing between God and Jesus that allowed them to grow closer. It was really a special thing, and that's why Jesus loves us so much. That's why he treasures us so much, and that's why God really hates it when we trample on the blood of Jesus, when we backstab each other, when we neglect each other, when we neglect his things. It's because this thing is so special to them. It's so meaningful. And when we start to see ourselves as this amazing thing that God made for Jesus and that Jesus stewards after for God, I mean, that's really going to make us feel new, because that's a new mindset that we need to have. And that's something that we should be crying out for, that mindset. Because I know a lot of the wrong mindsets in our head, once that really clicks, it's just going to cut all those cords. And God's really waiting to do that. I know he really wants to fall on us and change our mindsets. And we look to Revelation 22, verse 13. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And then when you look in the Amplified, it says, for the first and the last, it says, the before all and the end of all. So that's just, it's really allowing you to really sit back and look at Jesus for how huge he is, how vast he is. Before, if anything that ever was, he was with God. And, you know, we only know our kind of natural realm, third dimensional reality, but all the other treasures that are out there, all the other secrets that, you know, we frankly don't need to know about right now because we got enough going on here, but God will show us stuff. But it's like just the vastness of God and the vastness of Jesus. I think that's something that I was not aware of. I kind of just, okay, God is so vast. He's the creator. And then there's Jesus, and Jesus is mighty. He's strong. We have authority in him. But really, and a book that Pastor Barber recommended, a man by the name of Kevin Zadi, he had a meeting with Jesus. And in that meeting, he looked into Jesus' eyes. And I think he was on Sid Roth. And Sid Roth said, what did Jesus' eyes look like? And he said, I looked in his eyes and there was fire, but in his eyes I saw my destiny. That's in his eyes. That's mind-blowing. Your destiny is in Jesus' eyes. All of our destiny is in Jesus' eyes. That's mind-blowing. Again, that's how vast the King of Glory is. So let's look at Colossians 1, verse 15. Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the invisible. And that pretty much means the realm's much higher than this realm. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in him that all things were created. And so the creative power to create all things is in Jesus. You know, that's just a big truth. In heaven and on earth were these things created, things seen and unseen, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things were created and exist through him and for him and for him. All of this is for Jesus. If we are curious about the meaning of life, you know, people out in the world, I know I was before I came to Christ. Well, let's know why we're created. What are we created for? And are we created for a who? Well, okay, well, let's go after that. Let's go after Jesus. So it's a perspective that when we're living in the world and when we're getting bogged down in the mundane, reflecting on who we're created for. And that, okay, so we're created for you, Jesus, but, okay, so you want to live in us? That's pretty big. You're vast. You're responsible for everything. You're so special to God, and you want to live in us? Like, I think that's just a very healthy thought to hold in front of us at all times. And that's a thought of spiritual warfare. Because that's going to cause whatever the enemy's throwing at you to fall right down. And it's going to really prepare us for the greater truths and the blessings that God has. So not only do these thoughts, they help us to persevere in life, but they guard us from the devil. And they bring heaven into us. And God recently asked me, or he told me, through Pastor Barbara, he said, start asking me to see how I see. And I was in a fast food line the other day, and the order was taking really, really long. They gave me the wrong order. I was late to work. All this stuff was happening, and I was getting annoyed. Then there were trees to the right of me. And then they were just regular trees. But God started, he kind of put a vision in my head of what would these trees look like in heaven. And then I started to kind of see in the spirit a heavenly, transcendent version of these trees. And that was the beginning of God appreciating me asking him to see through his eyes. So that was a great example of, all right, you're in a bad mood, you're in the world, you could easily get mad right now, but God's going to allow you to see this world, but he's going to transmute it into a heavenly type thing. So that's just something God does for us because he loves us and he wants us to be with him. He wants our minds to be with him also. And if we could keep our minds stayed on Christ, we're keeping our minds in heavenly places. And then when things like that happen, well, we go right to heaven. That earthly thing goes right to heaven. And that's, I think, something that, you know, God's pouring out his spirit. His glory is coming. So we should all be asking God, okay, the darkness is coming, but what of heaven is here too? Can you change this into a heavenly thing? And that's really going to help us, guys, going forward, because what's happening right now in Florida, as God has told Pastor Barbara, this is just the beginning. So a proper exercise of these heavenly mindsets, it's really going to propel us, keep us in the spirit, keep us out of the devastation, and allow us, when we're in the spirit, to lift up all others around us up in that realm. So let's look at Hebrews 1, the very beginning of Hebrews. On many past occasions, in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. The exact representation of God's nature. That's just something to always realize. And it's hard to get our mind around, and it's good because we can just throw the mind on the table and let the Spirit absorb that Jesus, who wants to live in us, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. So if Jesus wants to live in us, he has the nature of God, he holds the keys to all things, what are we complaining about? Why are we stumbling? What's our problem? Continuing, upholding all things by his powerful word, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That right hand of God, that force that we can call on. We can call on the right hook of God to destroy our enemies. That is precious. And when it speaks of Jesus as the heir of all things, in the Amplified, it says, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. So when we familiarize ourselves with the courtroom, you know, right here it's saying Jesus is appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. So if we're in Christ, that's why when we use the blood of Jesus to testify on our behalf, that's why the enemy has nothing to say, because Jesus has all jurisdiction and all right and rule and all law on his side. He wrote the laws. He is it. So that's why in courtroom situations, Jesus is our advocate. He intercedes for us all the time. And he owns the laws. And that's why if we're not utilizing the courtroom, we're not utilizing the maker of the laws, the lawful one. So that's something that I know God would love us to do pretty much on a daily basis, go into the courtroom, get before God, ask him, is there any cases that are pending against us? And say, okay, God, show me those cases. Because the enemy's going in, and he's throwing case after case after case, and they stack up, and they're pending. So, and it's holding up our blessings. So we need to get before God and get those cases resolved, and it's so easy when we have Jesus on our side. That one gentleman, Mr. Henderson, he said, you know, Jesus, you know, he's not a referee. You know, it's a fix. He's on your side. The Father, the judge, is on your side. So all we have to do is throw ourselves in action, get before God, and allow everything to be resolved. And in Hebrews, that first chapter there that we read, it says that he made the universe by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. And the Amplified Translation is a translation that really takes into account the Greek, because there's kind of a differentiation of words and how they're used. So it really tries to make an English version of the Greek. So we just repeat this because it's so awesome. Jesus made the universe, by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. In parentheses, he made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Now, how much work is that? How much is going on behind the scenes of Jesus arranging all the worlds, arranging all the galaxies, the universes, the little cells, how the physics work, every little thing. Like, Jesus is so vast. Like, he is our all in all. He's our answer to everything. That's why kind of like there's kind of a scientific bent towards atheism. Well, the Word of God says different. And, you know, we as Christians should not be afraid of science, because it's just going to prove God. And Jesus knows all of it. He's the best physicist there is. So I think in these times, Jesus is going to be revealing more truths of how things are set up. And it's just really cool. And if Nancy, you could put that picture up. This is really interesting. Before I ever got this teaching together, I heard "Eye of God." So I went in a search engine and I typed that. And then the caption read as this. It said, "The famous Eye of God nebula may actually be weeping tears of water." So we see this nebula, and a nebula is pretty much like a collection of gases. And it's out in space, and it is a trillion-mile-long tunnel of glowing gases, that thing. So that eye is out in space looking at us, that eye. And around the corner of that eye, scientists have found out there's a water-like molecule is being formed. And this was kind of a newer revelation about this. But so we see a eye in the universe way out 700 light years away, and it's looking at us, and Jesus is behind it all, and there's water coming out of the eye. The eye is tearing up as it's looking at us, and that could very well be, you know, Jesus' eye. If he wanted it to be, it could be that big. So I just think the vastness of Christ is all around us. Who he really is all around us, and how much he desperately loves us. He loves us like he needs us, and we really need him. But he loves us like he needs us, because we're that special to him. So we're going to look at John 17 now. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work. And this is Jesus talking to the Father. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So he's saying, I have brought you glory, Father, on this earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So every promise that God has given us, how do we give him glory? We give him glory by finishing that work, by being long-suffering. Whatever we got to do, forgive ourselves, forgive others, move on. But to truly bring him glory, to bring Jesus and the Father glory, we need to do what we were made to do. Because when we understand that Jesus made all things, he made us down to the smallest detail. That one man said that he saw his destiny in Jesus' eyes. Jesus takes such care of each and every one of us. Like the amount of time, and he's outside of time, but we'll just use that word. The amount of time that he put into us. The depths that he made us. And if we're walking around in the flesh and we're not really seeking God, we're not letting the Holy Spirit get inside of us and pull up the depth that God has, we're not glorifying God, because we are refusing to bring out the special person. That identity in Christ is really the depth of who we really are. That's kind of a hard thing to quantify with your mind, my identity in Christ. Well, what it is the deepness that God, Jesus, made you to be, that's all he sees you as. He sees you as who he made you, because that's the truth. And we can be a lie, and we can live a lie, but we're not going to give God glory. We're just drudging around in the miry clay. I mean, there's really, it's such time for our long-suffering God to get out of us what he put in us. And that psalm, deep calls unto deep, like that, just the light bulb kind of went off of what that meant. But it's like the deepness of God, which is so deep, God's so vast. But as we get deeper in God, the Holy Spirit pulls that deepness in us, and we're allowed to be who we're meant to be. And what does that mean for our lives? That means stuff that we can't even imagine yet. Because I'll just say for myself, you know, I'm just like right here, or like right here in the depth. Well, it goes a trillion miles down. And we just need to dig into God for that depth, because we really don't realize what's really in there. Miracles, revelation. But aside from that, it's knowing who he is. We can know who God is, and we can know who we are. And we can know who we are to him. That one gentleman, Kevin Zadai, he died. He was on an operating table. Jesus took him outside of his body, and he was looking down on his body. And Jesus called him over by the side of Christ. And Jesus revealed to him many things, his destiny, as he looked into his eyes. And then he said, "Now I want you to go look at yourself." And the man went over to the operating table, looked down on himself, and he could not recognize himself. He said he was so beautiful. He looked unlike him. There was a small resemblance, but he was such a beautiful, majestic, perfect individual creation. And that's who we are. And Jesus said to him, "That's how I always see you." And so we just need to be crying out to God, "Okay, God, let me see through your eyes, people, the world, our situations, those around us, but let me see myself through your eyes, Lord, so I can be who you made me to be." Because really, it's so worth it. It's going to be so worth it, you guys. One good psalm, which I know we're all aware of, is the King of Glory, and I'll just read that. "Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." So we're being told that our ancient entrances for Christ to come out of us, we need to open those up so he can come out. So he can first come in by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Then when the Holy Spirit's in us, that we can release the Holy Spirit, that we can release who we are in Christ, that upon releasing that, it takes us over. It comes out and it kind of like flows over us, kind of like maybe a wax or something, and then we become that. As we let more and more out, it's almost like we're secreting, almost like a wax, and it's just falling on us, and we're becoming this strong tower. We are becoming that glorified vessel that God created. We're becoming our truth. We're becoming our destiny. And it's interesting, destiny. You know, destination, that's kind of a word that you can get from destiny. So that's where we should be going. And Christ told Mr. Zadai, "I'm always standing on your destiny. It is your destination." So if we're walking in Christ, he's always standing on that spot. So we're going to be led right to our destiny, right into him. So when we're able to have Christ in us, when we're able to be overcomers through him, we're really allowing ourselves to have a shortcut right into the narrow path. And it's really, really important. And, you know, we all have stuff that stands in our ways. Like caring what other people think. And this is something that God's allowing me to get over because he's so good. But really, cowards are, they're sent to the lake. They're sent to the lake. So there's kind of a lie of the enemy, like being timid and being shy. It's okay. He might disguise it as meekness. He might disguise it as being selfless, but really it's being selfish because you're refusing to act. And that's selfish. When you're refusing to do what you're made to do, that's being selfish to God. So when we start to see through these lies of the enemy, and maybe we're introverted, maybe we have an introverted personality, well, maybe there's parts of that that are of God. That's fine, but that doesn't make you a coward. When you should stand up and be bold, you stand up and be bold. And that's victory in Christ. And that's being fearfully and wonderfully made. And we each have all kind of different personalities, and it's the masterpiece that Christ made in all of us. And if we were all masterpieces, what chance would hell stand against us? Because they're not masterpieces. They're just kind of reverse engineered demon freaks, you know, kind of advanced in their ways, but they are not masterpieces. They are full of lies and deceit, and they only have the power that we give them, and they pervert, and they bring shame to God when we let them pervert ourselves, when we let them rule us and lead us. And that's just something that's so good to be crying out to God, is let us see, Lord, through your eyes, to steer us clear of every lie of the enemy. But because the devil shrank from his calling. God created him to be a jewel. He created him to be a beautiful thing, to praise him, because God would deserve praise from the most beautiful created thing, right? Yeah, that makes sense. But the devil shrank from his calling. He chose pride. He became selfish. So he wants us all to shrink. So all those personality traits that the devil has, of being shrewd, of wanting his own way, of taking the easy way out, these are all doors to the enemy. Complacency is a door to the devil. It is a door to the grave, because we're going to get passed by, because what's coming is so fierce and so amazing. It's going to be amazing in many ways. It's going to be really fun when we're in the spirit realm and when we're plugged into Christ. But if we're being cowardice, and if we are being complacent, we will never enter into what God has for us. So we need to get on fire for God like we never have before, and cry out to him to change us. Any cowardice in us, any fear of man in us, it has to go. There's no use for it. It's from the devil. And the devil will use so many tricks to get you to think that you're trying to be humble. False humility is one of the trickiest things that there is. It keeps pride in you and makes you think that it's not in you. And it keeps shyness and weakness and false meekness in you. And all the time that's still there. It's just going by a back door. It's just being disguised. Because the enemy, the word calls him an evil genius. So he's pretty advanced. The traps that they have for us, there's some cunning to these traps. But we have the Holy Spirit, we have the angels of God, we have Jesus in us who created all things. So if we allow Jesus in us to have our mind, will, and emotions, if we constantly sit in front of him and allow him to download these great revelations in us, these warnings to us. And I would suggest that the daily instructions that Reverend Nancy gets from God, they are literally daily instructions from the Father. And they are absolutely loaded with God's directions for this body. And sometimes, you know, God knows who's going to read them. So there's maybe something for a certain individual sometimes. But they are so important. And let alone we all know the fresh words are the perfect thing to hear for that day. So I know that's something that not all of us are doing, but it's a very smart thing to read the fresh word every day and to read the daily instructions from the Father, because it's God talking to us. We love to get prophetic words here. Why aren't we going on the internet, taking a minute and looking those up? It's really smart. It's really smart to do that. So when we start to realize, you know, there's a responsibility to be this wonderfully and beautifully, fearfully made creation, there's a responsibility, there's a stewardship. We are not our own. We belong to Jesus. We were made by him and for him. So we are truly held responsible 100%, and especially this church, as much wisdom as God has given Pastor Barbara. And she has gracefully shared it with all of us. We are armed with all we need to know. And then if there's additional stuff, God's going to tell us if we seek him. And if we're not seeking God, he wants to give you a certain thing that he's not going to give someone else. So we are being selfish that way, and we're not allowing God to download important, vital information in us. And it's a fun part of being a body. God wants to give Astrid something that he's going to give Ethan, and Sister Shirley something that he's going to give Alan. So when we all get in front of God, when we take responsibility and do what we should be doing, it's really going to start taking off for us, guys. And we should stand on that today. It started this revival. We've been in revival, but we should really be standing on this revival right here. We are so new now, and we're just going to walk it out. God has been so graceful to every one of us, and we owe it to him. We really owe it to him. Now is the time, because he's so good. So when we realize that, okay, we're fearfully, wonderfully made by Jesus, and not only that, we're a weapon in his arsenal. We are a weapon in the arsenal of heaven, specifically designed to carry out a task to save others. You know, when we really start identifying and getting these rooted into who we are, we're going to be more responsible. We're going to be more energetic. We're going to rebuke the enemy a lot more, because we're going to know what's of God and what's not. And we're going to know what's of the flesh and what's of the spirit. And it's really going to propel us into the greater things, the greater works that he has for us. But, and Jesus said, we all know, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you love Jesus, you're going to do what he says. Why are we going to do what he says? Because he created all things. He created us. He knows anything that ever could be known about anything. So he's looking out for us. Sometimes it seems like, you know, the enemy will put in us, or maybe our flesh, even sometimes, a sense of striving. Okay, God, we'll keep your commandments. Okay, we can't do this. Okay, I got to love this. But really, it's the most perfect remedy for any situation, because it's not only allowing Christ to live in us, but it's agreeing with his plan and purpose for our life on a constant basis. If we're constantly keeping his commandments, we are constantly in agreement with Jesus. And we're doing this for so many reasons. But when you look at him saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And a big part of that is, if you love me like I love you, I want to be with you. I created you. I love you so immensely. I want to be with you. You need to keep my commandments so I can have you. If you don't keep my commandments, you're going to get off and you're going to be taken away from me, and I'm going to weep over you in hell. And that's going to be our relationship. That's going to be horrible. So if you love Jesus, keep his commandments so he can have you. And the word for the past year is surrender. Surrender. Surrender to Jesus. That's the word. That's been the word. And when we really do that, when we really surrender, all of our problems are going to start to fade away. Every gift inside of us, God's going to be able to use, because he's not going to use a selfish person to do anything, because he can't trust them. God once said, I can trust me with my gifts, not you. So meaning, he can trust the yielded vessel to him with his gifts, not a mere man. So if we're to be trusted by God, we need to die out and give our all to him so he can use us. And it's the finished peace that God has for the body of Christ, and the finished peace that God has for each and every one of us. It's going to be so beautiful. The bride is going to be so beautiful. What that really is, it's going to be so amazing. And it's just really something that we should always be identifying as the bride of Christ. And you know, the fruits of the Spirit, they're really, you know, character traits of Christ. They are, if we ask Jesus, who are you? Well, he's going to relate the fruits of his Spirit to you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And self-control is truly a trait of Jesus, because he has all power under his hand. So to be entrusted with that power, God's going to need us to be self-controlled. If we're not self-controlled, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. So just the ideas and the mindsets of a responsible steward who sold out to Christ, that's just something that we all need to focus in on, and we need to allow it to become us. He is our all in our all in all. He's our high priest, the Lamb, the judge, everything. He's the judgment, the judge for the judgment that's coming, because God gave everything to Jesus to reconcile it to God. Now God's the judge in the courtroom in heaven, but as far as all of creation and everything that will be, God just straight up gave that to Jesus to resolve all that. And that's why Jesus takes it so seriously, because God says, "Here, son, I give this to you." And Jesus is like, "Thank you so much, Father." And since Jesus is the most perfect being, he deeply, deeply cares about his creation. And if we look into our future and we're not looking to Jesus to be our all in all, to be every answer to any question that we could ask, he holds every key. He holds our destination. He holds our destinies. He's the remedy. Any great word you can give that is a solution to anything, that's anything worthy of praise, it's him. It's been him. He's been it the entire time throughout the Old Testament. It's been him. In the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was good. That's Jesus. He's been there the entire time. And God really wants to unite us to him. He wants to unite us with Jesus. And every part of us that is selfish and that is not allowing Jesus to be our all in all, God wants to fill that peace, that selfish part. And God wants you to scan yourself of any selfish thing in you and say, "God, I don't want this block in between us anymore. I'm yours because you are worth it. I'm going to keep your commandments and I'm going to love you." And whatever that means, God. So, Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done here. We thank you, Jesus. You're so great. You're so magnificent. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you've always been here. We thank you of all the care, the intercession that you do to the Father for us. We thank you so much. You are the best steward that could ever be. And we thank you, God, that you're allowing that stewardship nature, that virtue of kindness and right character to be put into us as well. So if you want any gaps, any holes in you that it does not have Jesus as your all in all, come up to the altar and allow him to fill those gaps with his self.